Welcome to Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm your host, Anna Olcisi, entrepreneur, realtor, and travel lover. Here's where I get to combine all of my passions into one and chat with guests worldwide about all things real estate. Join us for lighthearted banter, useful information, and the occasional outrageous anecdote. Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode. Today, we have a wonderful realtor from Richmond, Virginia. Her name is Jovi Richards. She is fairly new to this game, and we can't wait to talk to her a little bit about her strategies, how she gets clients, and how she's been so successful despite being in the thick of it and starting in March of 2020. So without further ado, Jovi, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here and to speak with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. So Jovi and I were chit-chatting a little bit before we started recording, and she was telling me about her background and everything. So Jovi, I want you to share with everybody, you know, about where you're from, from Richmond, obviously, but where are you originally from and your family and how you got to be where you are right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I would say like originally birthplace, like I was an army baby born in Germany. You know, just due to an unfortunate event in my family, my grandmother ended up raising me here in Richmond. And most of my family is based here in Richmond. And I went to, you know, elementary school here. I went to college at UVA in Charlottesville, just down the road. So I'm pretty familiar with RVA. It's all I know for the most part, as far as Virginia goes. But yeah, definitely Richmond.
All right. And you're smart one, because UVA, that is not an easy school to get through. So props to you for doing that. Yeah.
Thank you. Go Wahoos.
See, like the University of Florida just joined those ranks of like super high top five, but UVA has always been way up there. So that's awesome. So tell us, you are in real estate now. You weren't always in real estate, and what prompted you to get into it?
Absolutely. So before real estate, I worked with children with autism. I was a behavior therapist, and I did that for a majority of the time after college. And I did some graduate work in it and thought that that was going to be where I ended up, you know, as the like, when I get here, I've made it. It wasn't until after I had my daughter that I realized that, you know, this ceiling, this cap for an income thing might not be the best option for me. Of course, I love what I did. I love, you know, helping families and children. But I definitely felt that there was time to explore different avenues for income.
Yeah.
And so with that, and with, you know, just researching and talking with people, I learned a little bit about wholesaling. And from there, I got the chance to network with local investors and people who were getting into it or who had done a few deals, who were doing different types of investments like flipping. From doing that and from meeting with people and networking, I quickly realized that I wanted to be a realtor. So in 2018, I got licensed. I was still working part-time, but during like the weekends and then the evenings, I did a lot of real estate. Basically just, you know, working with clients or trying to, you know, market, prospecting, things of that nature. And then it wasn't until 2020 that I actually was full-time in real estate. And a lot of people don't know that because, you know, some people that know me since 2018, they have seen, you know, oh, you're doing deals, you know, stuff like that. And of course, it's not like a whole bunch of deals, you know, with being part-time, but it was enough to make me feel like, okay, I got a knack for this. Let me keep going. Let me not give up, you know, on myself, or let me not be so hard on myself. I think that's something that a lot of realtors can do. Like, we can be so tough on ourselves industry and, you know, just, you know, limiting beliefs and things of that nature. Hold on, guys, really quickly. Can you hear my girls? Are my kids really loud?
I mean, I can hear them, but that's just because we're, you know, that's how life is now. We're at home.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to see. Okay. Because I told them, don't be quiet. Okay. Just a second, guys. Hey guys, I'm back.
It's okay. We were just saying how it's so not easy to be a mom, and I have like an almost 20-year-old, so it's like we're at opposite ends of the spectrum, but I, you know, when they're little, it's so hard, you know. So,
oh yeah,
that's up to you.
They're 4 and 5, 5 and 6. I'm sorry. No, 4 and 6. One is about to be 5. Because, you know, they tell you the ages every day of like when their birthday is. So I get mixed up, but 6 and 4. And wow. Yeah, peas in a pod. So I'm sorry.
No worries. No need to apologize whatsoever. That is parenthood. And that's part of being a realtor. You are at home and you are with your kids and... Right. You know, but that's one of the motivating factors sometimes is the idea that you've got something now that you can pass along to your kids. Because you mentioned earlier, you know, there's the cap on your earnings when you're in a 9-to-5 profession and you're working for someone else and everything. And then when you are able to take it into your own hands, and absolutely. if you are motivated like you are, and if you don't have those limiting beliefs, which you don't, then you there's really no limit, and you can pass on generational wealth to, you know, to your kids. And what a great gift that is. So it's great that you've done that and you're doing that. So
thank you. And that's, you know, you're right. That's kind of how I see it. And it is, like you said, a really big in your face motivation to just keep going. Cause it's like, you know, before having kids, it's like all about me and my like beliefs and like things that like, oh, I'm out of my comfort zone. But when you have kids, it's not about you and your comfort zone anymore, right? It's immediately not about you, and that can be such a relief because you can like not think about yourself but think solely about, okay, how do I want, you know, to set things up for my kids and etc. So absolutely.
Well, and I think it's especially important when we have girls because we have to be that example that we want them to follow. And what kind of example are we if we are self-deprecating and if we aren't, you know, really out there and advocating for ourselves and working for ourselves and making our money and being independent while serving others, which is really what real estate is. So that's, you know, it's nice that we're able to do those things and be those examples. So it's wonderful that yours are little and they're growing up seeing you do that. And
especially after, you know, the whole lockdown situations and when we were able to, like, I'm just going back to 2020. I had, I think, 2 deals closing that same week. And that was the week that they were like, oh, the courthouses are closing and, you know, all this other stuff. And we were trying to figure out if we were going to close. It was a listing. And then there was like a sale, a buyer. And that really was just like, whoa. And then, you know, later on throughout the rest of the year, you know, it's virtual school and, you know, things of that nature. And so when I did have showings, they were with me, you know, we had masks and, you know, we had to basically keep rolling. And, you know, they've gone with me to closings. Like a lot of my clients, like I say, you know, a lot of my buyers, especially if it's like the evenings, they know I have showing assistants and they're my little showing assistants. So it's a lot of fun. They definitely, when they are with me, it's not every showing, but the times that they are with me, it definitely adds a little fun to the mix, for sure.
That's wonderful. And they're learning the business, which I think is super cool.
I bet to look at it like too. Yeah. Like, okay, these are many realtors.
Exactly. They're realtors in the making. How great is that? Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, again, that goes back to what we're saying earlier, is that's you're setting that example for them and they're seeing what it's like to work and that things don't come easy. I mean, you really have to hustle and you have to work hard to get what you have.
I agree.
And that you know, they're not there to just get everything, you know, from you. You're working really, really hard for them. And they'll always see that. They'll always appreciate that. So that's great. Yes. So tell me a little bit about, so you do a lot of off-market listings or buyers. Yeah. Tell me about that.
So you know, with wholesaling, I don't know if you're like super familiar with it, but a lot of people who do investing, they try to find stuff off market because you can get a better deal, you know, things like of that nature. And some of us as realtors, if we never learned that, we just have to solely rely on the MLS. And because I did a little bit of that before I got licensed, I had a few tips and tricks and techniques that I used to find something off market when it was already a seller's market. But then when COVID happened, and then, you know, I know for us in March of 2020, over like 170 homes went off the market, like were withdrawn from the market. And so, of course, that immediately impacted inventory. And, you know, with us, there was already an influx of buyers relocating here. And then, you know, more people are working remotely. And so they're, you know, wanting to move to cheaper areas, you know, from maybe where they were before. And then we have empty nesters or downsizers. And then the millennial buyers, like in my age range, where, you know, we're at a point now where we're able to buy, you know, we're ready to buy a house. You know, the interest rates had dropped. So there was just way more buyers than houses, of course.
Still.
I had to dig deep to find something for my clients, because my clients at the time, they were at that more a competitive price range of like under 300. Those price ranges where it's really crazy, you know, something is listed for 230, it goes under contract at 250, no contingencies, you know, like that type of
situation. It was just like that. Yeah.
And so, but the nice thing about it, about that range for our market, that's also more of a landlord price range. A lot of investors that are looking for rentals, some of them are buying under the 250, you know, and below. And so from there, I was able to just see, okay, who just has a rental in this area? And I called up like landlords left and right. I was on Zillow, you know, if anything that was for rent on Zillow, and I saw that it was for rent either by an agent or if it was for rent by a landlord. I wanted to see, of course, how long they had that home, you know, want to make sure they didn't just close on it last month, but it was somebody that maybe had it for a few years. And with Zillow, sometimes they have the numbers there or a message. And I'm just like, hey, I know you have this for rent. Would you like an offer instead?
That's so smart. Wow. Yeah.
And usually they're like, come by tomorrow. Check it out. Let me know what you think. And usually when we come to see the home, that's when I kind of have all the questions about, you know, the property, repairs, of course, commission, you know, that comes into play. Usually before I show the home, I have that conversation, like, you know, I mean, see if they're open to, you know, working with a buyer's agent. But that definitely was helpful. Some other things that helped were, of course, you know, people go after expired listings for listings. But I found that was a great way to just get in touch with the agent. Maybe they had it listed, you know, a couple of years ago. I'll go back 3 or 4 years. And sometimes agents, they, you know, maybe forget like who that seller was. And so I'm just like, hey, it was, you know, Jimmy Davis over on 123 Main Street. They're like, oh, yeah, I was just talking with him, or, you know, kind of jog their memory. But usually they still have their, you know, information, just like, hey, you know, I'll reach out to them or something, you know, something of that nature, and we'll get a showing, you know, or maybe they were already preparing to list their home. Another situation I had, there was clients that were looking in a specific neighborhood, super, super competitive, and there wasn't anything on the market. There is, I don't know about your city, but you know, some neighborhoods have their own Facebook groups.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I just went on there and just let them know, like, hey, guys, you know, I'm working with a couple of clients that are looking to purchase in this neighborhood, especially if you work in that neighborhood anyway. You know, it's not like a, hey, you know, let me sell your house. It's like, hey, I have buyers looking to give an offer. Like, we're not trying to, you know, bait and switch or anything. And, you know, a few people messaged me and they say, hey, we have a house over here. Would they be interested? And we were able to get them in a showing like that same week. And they put in an offer right where they needed it to be. And they got like over, I think like over like $10,000 in equity because of it. So
wow,
it really, awesome. Yeah, it's extra work, but it really helps if it's something that's super competitive or they have those super specific neighborhoods and things like that. Like that is just one way or a few ways I was able to get them something off market.
That is fantastic and brilliant, may I add. So how many have you, like, how many deals have you done as a result of this method?
Well, so I started doing it mostly, let's see, my first one was a duplex. So when I was part-time, 2019, that was my first off market, and it was a duplex. It was a buyer I was working with. He wanted to house hack, and he wanted a specific area of town. We have different counties. Like I work, you know, we work Richmond City, but we also have Henrico and Hanover and Chesterfield. And those are my main playgrounds, but I work, you know, other areas as well. And, you know, he specifically wanted West Henrico, and West Henrico, Tuckahoe area is super competitive. And I kind of did something similar, just like, hey, you want a duplex? I just use the MLS. A lot of people like, what are you using? I use the MLS because we have it. You know, from there, I just found, you know, an absentee owner. So since then, I've maybe done maybe like 4 or 5 just because it's been so slow. But right. Most of my buyers, like the last 2 buyers I've closed on, they have been on market, but everyone before that was off market. So wow. Yeah, outside of like sellers. And a lot of the homeowners that I find off market, some of them are landlords, so they have other properties that they want to sell. And that's so right. My work and in my rapport with sellers from wholesaling, a lot of those became listings like my first year in real estate. Those techniques and things like that, they really come in handy. I would say earlier this year, a lot of agents hit me up about the off-market thing. And as much as I want to like spend hours and hours going through every single thing that I do, I just went ahead and make like a little like video course for them. It's not like anything I'm like, oh yeah, go get the course, but it is like one way that you can get everything that I do. And it breaks it all down from how you find them, how you contact them, how you close on it, and how you can leverage to make more listings.
I love that. You're entrepreneurial through and through.
So well, try.
I love that. Yeah. No, wow. You're trying and succeeding. So yeah, bravo. Yeah, that's really, really good. And that's what so many agents don't realize, that they can monetize their skills the way that
right.
you're doing that.
Right. Yeah, there's a big stigma about it. You know, some people are like, oh, you closed one deal, now you're training people. But it's like, honestly, if you have something that, you know, people can find value in and it solves a problem, legit, like it solves a problem and it says, hey, do X, Y, and Z, you know, like you will have everything you need, then like, of course, like, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. It gives you more of that passive income. And you can spend more time with your girls. So.
Very true. And then at that time, you know, because it became a thing of people like, hey, can you partner with me? You know, with my clients that I had right now, it's like, you know, I'm happy to help you, but it'll be easier if I can just like tell you everything you need to know and you can do it yourself. And I had one agent, she said, Jovi, I got one under contract, you know, so it's, I love to hear stuff like that. And I love to, and of course I love to help other people to partner, but it's like, I don't have the time. And then I'm virtual homeschooling, you know, like it was a lot.
That is a lot. But think about it. How many parents haven't been able to do that? Whereas like, you know, they've just had to dive, especially moms had to dive in and become teachers.
Yes.
And not have any other way of making money because like there was just no other, you know, revenue stream. And so to be able to leverage your skills and your success into something, you know, that would still be able to give you something. I mean, it's not maybe like millions, but it's certainly
it's an option.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I mean, I think it's great what you've done. And it's so I'm guessing so it's changed so much, because if you were doing this, you know, this wholesaling thing in 18 and 19, like it has shifted, because at first investors were buying in bulk probably for a while prices were still a little bit stable or low. And then now it turned into these investors wanted to sell because it wasn't a good time to be a landlord. So are you seeing a shift again? Like, is that going back? Are more investors now more willing to buy, or is it still not quite?
I believe so. Honestly, for the investors, what I've been seeing, it's like if they can get something at the price they need, then they're still ready to roll. I've sold a couple of as-is investor, like my last two listings were investors. And it's seriously just, hey, if we can get it at the price we like and then the sellers are okay with it, then, you know, they're still closing on it. Mm-hmm. As far as like landlords, some of them I've seen keep, like they want to hold on a little bit longer just because the rental market is also strong. Mm-hmm. So some of them like aren't, you know, super like, oh yeah, let me hurry up and sell. But I have come across a few sellers who want to just kind of keep tabs on the market values just in case. Yeah. But it seems to be the theme of like, okay, if I sold this, what would I want to buy after this? Or can I buy something? Will I be able to find something to replace this? Like it's one seller that I'm pretty keep in touch with. And he's like, you know, well, if I sold this duplex, can you find me a quad within the time that I need, you know, or something like that. So it's more so to do with like the inventory. And even with off markets, you know, if I reached out to an agent or I reached out to a seller, it was like, you know, yeah, we would want to sell it, but we don't know if he would find something in time. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things where, if the inventory is still low, then, you know, where is that money going to go?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting market we've got going because it's like that everywhere, which is what kind of blows my mind because I always think, how can it be like that everywhere? I mean, because, you know, at some point people are going to leave some places. And so it's just, you know, it's really amazing that that it's just stayed so strong in so many places throughout country. But hey, good for us, right?
Right.
So other than this, you know, all your off-market listings and everything, is there anything else that you're working on, that you're honing your skills on in terms of like more listings than buyers, or what do you like to specialize in?
Well, I am looking to work with more buyers. I mean, sellers, of course, you know, list to last, what they say. But I am just looking to just get better overall, you know, do more like new construction deals, things that like I haven't done a lot of. I would like to do some multifamily as well. Like I've done a few duplexes and I really like that. So I'm just looking to kind of just see, you know, what the year has in store. Nothing too, you know, hard as far as goals, but I am definitely looking to see, you know, just kind of what, you know, what the real estate gods have in store.
That's right.
For the rest of the year. Because honestly, I mean, like 2020, if I would have known that, you know, everything was going to shut down the month that I would go full time, I probably, you know, would have made a different choice. But I'm glad I did it because it forced me to really just go after it and, you know, do what I need to do.
That's good. Yep. I mean, I think that sometimes you just have to kind of jump and see, you know, what happens. And, and that definitely forced a lot of people to just kind of plunge and hope for the best and work really, really hard to make it happen. Right. And only the ones who worked really, really hard and didn't give up are the ones that are still around to talk about it. So
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's wonderful, you know, that you've been able to make it. And I like that you're in a niche and that you like to do multifamily dwellings and all of that, like the duplex and you know, quads and all that, because you don't hear that a lot. You know, typically people want, you know, the more like just the single family home and this and that. And so being in that market is probably incredibly, you know, if you really do hone in on that, I think that would really set you apart from a lot of the other realtors that you work with. I mean, is that the case in Richmond? I don't know. That's how it'd be here.
Yeah, I mean, because I know for Richmond, there are certain areas that have more duplexes than others. Mm-hmm. But just working with investors or landlords, it's just a different type of sale, right? You know, it's less emotion, it's more numbers based. Right. And a lot of the retail space is emotional. It's, you know, I'm super fine with that. Like, I just had a closing with one client and I've never cried so much at a closing. Usually, like, I try to keep that part of me. But you get so invested in, you know, in their story and in their journey. Yeah. And, you know, she was one client that, you know, she had a couple of bad experiences with two realtors before me. So just seeing her make it through and get her to the closing table, you know, happy. Okay. Like, that was really big. And I was just so, so happy for her and her family and what that sale stood for. And I mean, of course, I'm excited for all my closings, but even though the retail side comes with the more emotional parts of the business, I definitely enjoy the, hey, Jovi, how much can I get for this? Can you list it tomorrow? Like, I love that, you know, like,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Here are the leases. Like, I love that part of it, because it's just like no nonsense. If you know, if you're about your business, I just need the facts. Let's go. I love that.
Perfect. Well, yes. And that's, again, that's great, because not a lot of people approach real estate to start with that, that mentality. You know, most people want, you know, just like the HGTV kind of, you know, Bravo experience of right. Let me show three homes and be all, you know, fabulous. But it's so much more than that. And there's so many other, you know, sectors to be in. And, And so, yeah, you know, I think that's really, really cool. So, all right. Well, is there anything that I haven't touched on that you wanted to touch on, Jovi?
You know, I will say, you know, if someone is looking to move to Richmond or they wanted to know more about Richmond, from what I've seen as some trends, some buyers are looking for more land, like, you know, just due to, you know, the remote work situations. I've come across more buyers that are looking to live on the outer skirts of the city more, or they're looking for, like, you know, I need at least 5 acres. Just this weekend, I showed a log cabin that was 10 acres with river access. I was like, we have this here? Like, are we in Tennessee? What's going on?
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so, you know, and the clients that I showed it to, they really loved it. So, you know, we'll see how that one goes. But honestly, it's been, I don't know, Richmond is just so unique. We have a lot of, like, locally based chefs and just a lot of outdoor activities. We have a big art scene here, a big music scene here. So a lot of the things you will find in a bigger city, we'll have here, maybe for half the price, but, you know, we'll have here, even from, like, you know, if you want a mansion or if you're looking for something, you know, more modest, you know, we have a lot of that here. And, you know, it's a great place to be for sure.
That's wonderful. Yes. Somebody on our team is from Richmond.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And she does love it. So, yeah. So apparently it's a great place. I was able to visit it last year.
Oh,
and okay. Just stop there overnight. That's all we did on the way to New York. But it is a beautiful town. And I did find it very, very charming. And one day, hopefully I can explore some more and I'll call you up and say,
absolutely.
Hey,
yes, we have a bunch of wineries and breweries nearby. So yeah, absolutely.
See, you know who you're talking to then. You mentioned the wineries. There we go. For sure. So yes, very, very good, Jovi. Well, thank you so much. As a Richmond native, you know your town. And if anybody is looking to move there, you're definitely a great resource. I'm sure you want to be a resource for real estate, of course, but you're also a great resource in general. And sometimes just being a great resource in general makes people confident that you can help them with real estate.
I agree.
Yes. Yes. So if you find yourselves on TikTok or Instagram, go to Jovi Sold It. And we're going to put that information on our social and on the description for the podcast. But also, you know, if you're looking in Richmond, I definitely suggest that you hit Jovi up and yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. And talk to her about that and everything. So Jovi, thank you so much. I know that you're really, really busy. I know that you're not just a very, really busy realtor, you're a busy mom, and I just really admire that. So thank you for taking time, carving time out of your day to chat with us and share with us your experience and all that off-market stuff. Super cool. I think that's a great, great approach. And yeah, especially in this market. So thank you so much. And thank you everybody for listening. And hopefully you can look up Jovi on social media because she is there.
Thank you so much. I had a great time.
Likewise. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. And until next time, have a great one. Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you hear and want to learn more about real estate and hear the occasional funny story, then hit that subscribe button right now. And if you know of someone who'd benefit from listening, then tell them to subscribe too, or else they may feel a little left out. For questions, topic suggestions, or nice comments, send an email to anna@segwayre.com. We can also connect on Facebook at SegwayRE. Thanks for listening as we bring you a new way of doing real estate. Bye!